Okay.
That's why.
Hey everyone, it's Noelle.
Hey, it's Damned Off to Foxy Brown.
And this is Always Rational K-Pop Podcast, episode 7, right?
Yes, you are continuing to remember the number. I'm proud of you.
Yep. We have to go through the news, and of course, you cannot ignore the biggest news in K-Pop in like forever.
Well, because that's going to bring so much talking, I think we should use that as the last bit of news.
Mm-hmm. We'll focus on the other news first, because the piece of news that we're going to discuss last is something major. Anyway, this is major for people in Europe. SM Town in Paris, soon, June 10. And it seems that... Go ahead, Dee.
And from correctly, from looking at it, it's five artists. It's Dongbang Shinki, FX, Super Junior, Sonia Shide, and SHINee.
Yep.
So, everyone except BoA, basically.
BoA shooting a movie in Toronto. She's not too happy about it. She's not too happy about it. So, there you go. And the tickets are expensive. The ticket prices are up. We posted it on the website. So, you guys, if you really want to see the K-pop idols, for those of you who live in Europe, especially those of you who live in Paris, go ahead and see them.
And they have several packages that the benefits sound good, but it may not be worth the price, especially if you live outside of Paris or outside of France, especially. So as you have to factor in travel and accommodations and food as well. But again, I don't want to pressure you to go because, again, I don't live in Europe. I don't have whatever problems you may have. But just keep in mind that this is sort of a testing the waters kind of thing.
And it's rare.
You pass up on it now. It's possible that you might regret it for the rest of your life. I don't know. Like, no pressure. But the chance may not come around twice. And of course, not everybody will be able to afford, you know, in the future, going to Korea, going to Japan, or... wherever else they're actually having the big SM Town show to be able to go and see these artists. And of course, not just them, but other artists as well having their big shows. So between this and the proposed Big Bang actual global world tour, who knows how many times you might get this opportunity. Because me, personally, I've regretted some stuff. But of course, it was outside the realm of my control to be able to go up to New York to go watch Rain perform or whatever. So, you know, you only do what is sensible and reasonable for you. If you if you can't do it financially, please do not put yourself in debt to go ahead and do something that, sure, you're going to enjoy it for the time. It's probably going to be one of the big moments of your life, but you have to be responsible also.
Yes. So, if you have the finances, go. They have different packages, like you said, but we don't really know what the goodies are, the special thing that's included in the ticket.
So we don't 51 know euros, 51 euros is for the standing room only, mosh pit kind of thing. And if you've been to a show that they have standing room, you kind of know how that goes.
Yes.
And then multiply that you're going to be surrounded by K-pop fangirls.
Uh-oh.
Who all know that they may never get this opportunity again. So if you're able to pay a little bit extra, that may be more worth it for you. Who knows? But 51 euros is a good chunk of change.
Yeah. Personally, I don't like the standing room. Nope. I'd rather be seated.
I did it for the Wonder Girls concert I went to, and considering that we were supposed to be there, because we had VIP, so we were supposed to be there from 4 o'clock, and the show didn't start till 8. So it's kind of like standing outside in line for all of that time, and then you go inside and you're still standing. It's kind of hell on your feet.
Yep, it is.
But like, so you just keep all of that in mind. You might prefer, I mean, I'm sure most of you have been to concerts before and you know how that works. So if you prefer to be able to sit, just know that it is a lot more money.
Yes, that's €89.50. VIP assigned seats, category 1 seats, €67.50. And then, what is that? $67.50. I'm not sure what that is, but it looks like cents. And then, let's see, sound check package. This is quite rare. I mean, this is the first time I've seen it. Rehearsals and sound checks included. So the rest of the package would include the rehearsal, sound checks, the actual ticket to see the concert, and then whatever. I think that's about it. And maybe some goodies, too.
Personally, if I cared about SM Town and I had the money, and, like, I think it would all boil down to whether I lived in Paris or not. I think if I lived in Paris and I had the money, I would go for the max package.
Yep.
If I didn't live in Paris and I had the money to travel, I would probably go for the cheapest seating
stand.
Package.
That's the cheapest standing seating package.
The cheapest sitting package. I don't want to stand.
Category 1 seat. So I don't know how far that is. That's very comfortable, I suppose. I hope.
And of course, it's not that big of a venue. So the word was that I think it's between 5,000 and 6,000 seats. So
not bad. That's fine.
I mean, it makes sense considering what they were probably looking at is they don't expect to have a lot of people show up. And then the fan club probably told them, you know, how many people they have in membership. So they probably made a generous estimate based on that. Or maybe it was all they could afford in terms of venues. I don't know.
But yeah, if you have 221 to €21.50, go for the maximum package, if I were you. Sound checks, rehearsals, blah, blah, blah. And that's it. Well, there are other packages, but it doesn't have the rehearsals. Just has the goodies and the actual ticket. Grab the chance if you can, but don't force it, okay? If it's not meant to be, it's not meant to be, but I'm just jealous of you guys. Okay, next is MC Mong's draft dodging case comes to an end. This is the thing, the court was unable to determine whether he was guilty of extracting his teeth to avoid being drafted into the military, but he was sentenced to 1 year of probation, a suspended jail term of 6 months, and 120 hours of community service. Now, truly, the question is, can he still come back to the music scene? Since you know how the Korean public does not really take things like this very lightly.
Interestingly enough, a couple years ago, Psy was found guilty of draft dodging. They said that, I think it was... They have several things that you could do instead of direct military service. And he worked for this company for 2 years, and then it was discovered that I think his uncle or something like that ran the company. So a big deal was made over whether he really did the service or not, and he actually got drafted again to do legitimate military service. But he had his comeback last year. Wasn't wildly successful, but he was performing on stage and stuff like that. So it really all depends, I think, on how badly they see you. As far as this goes, he was not found guilty of draft dodging. Mm-hmm. But people may look down on him because they still suspect him of it.
Yes.
So he may not be able to promote as freely as he wanted to.
Yeah.
But what is interesting is that the group he started producing before all of this happened.
Dalmatian,
they didn't seem to suffer. I mean, there was like a big period between when they released the digital single and when they finally released their mini album. But as far as broadcast time goes, they don't seem to really be suffering horribly from his case. Now, whether that's because he hasn't been as openly involved with their promotion, Maybe he immediately took a step back as soon as it came out that the police were investigating him for this. But I think if he takes a year, 2 years off to reevaluate what he wants to do with his life from here, and he comes back, because, you know, time heals all wounds, basically. People will forget what you've done. And some other people that we're going to talk about later, they are beneficial of that, the fact that people will always, they'll have it in the back of their minds, but they'll feel less strongly about it over time.
People forget, people forgive eventually. It may take a while. But tell me what this actually means. 1 year probation from what? And what's a suspended jail term of 6 months? What the heck does that mean?
I am not... I know that he got sentenced for interfering with the police investigation. And a suspended jail sentence.
When you say suspended, it means like, have you served part of your sentence?
No, that's time served. Oh, okay. Suspended sentence is a legal term for a judge's delaying of a defendant's serving of a sentence after they've been found guilty in order to allow the defendant to perform a period of probation. If the defendant does not break the law during that period and fulfills the particular conditions of the probation, the judge usually throws out the sentence.
Ah, so 6 months. That's not too long.
But he's on probation for a year. So in that year, he has to live up to the standard, whatever the rules are set for the probation. Yeah. If he completes it, the chances are he won't have to serve the jail term. But if he breaks it at any point, then he has to serve 6 months.
Yeah. Well, good behavior
for 1 year. This also goes on to say that the difference between a suspended sentence and a deferred sentence is that the suspended sentence will more often than not stay on your record.
Oh.
So it'll probably always be there that he served 6 months.
Okay, well, he has to be on his best behavior for 1 year. I guess it would be good if he just stayed out of the country for 1 year.
I don't think he'd be allowed to stay out of the country if he's on probation. Chances are he's not allowed to travel.
That's really sad, though. Or maybe just stay at
home.
Because
he has to report into his probation officer and all that, so he'd still have to be in country. I would recommend that he meets a nice lady friend. And go from there.
Yep. And maybe just stay home for a year and stay away from places that could get him into trouble, like bars, nightclubs, or, you know, anything like that. Stay away from the public eye for a year.
As if he wants to take our advice, what do we know?
Yeah, we have his best interest at heart, though. Anyway, I wish him well. Now, on to the next piece of news that I have here.
So, last week, we talked a bit about Rain being on top of the Time 100 poll again, and I said that he's won this popularity contest before. Chances are they won't put him on the list.
Nope.
But it turns out that yesterday when they revealed who all was on the list, I only found out because someone tweeted that isn't letting people know by Twitter that they made the Time 100 kind of diminish the prestige of the whole thing.
Really?
Which I thought was kind of funny. Yeah, the Time 100, the Time account was actually sending out messages to everyone that had a Twitter account that made it, that, hey, you've made it onto the Time 100, and it gave the link directly to them. And I followed one of the links because I saw Rain and I thought, this is weird. And I actually spent a good part of my time yesterday, I won't tell you what I was supposed to be doing, reading through the Time 100. And I never really felt this way before, because I guess the first time he made the list, I was kind of caught up in the whole idea that he's being acknowledged by a magazine as big as Time.
Mm-hmm.
But the further I read through the list, and really it was Amy Poehler, her addition to the list, that made me feel this way, because I was just like, you're putting a comedian who isn't all that big, but has been on Saturday Night Live and is on a current sitcom. It's on NBC, which is, you know, the poorest performing network around. And she's made the Time 100 list, along with people like, I will not pronounce their names, I won't mangle it, but the the lady from Myanmar, Burma, who's been under house arrest or arrest.
I know her name. I'm not going to pronounce it. Nope.
Right. We all know who she is, who's been an advocate for democracy this whole time. So people like her, people like political dissidents that have been arrested, people like huge political figures that are moving their country into obvious directions, into positions of power in the world. I think Brazil's president made it. Mm-hmm. Angela Merkel from Germany was on the list. The guy that's poised to be Hu Jintao's successor in China made it as well. Mm-hmm. And China's defense minister and so on and so forth. People like that. And then you have the occasional actor that's also a philanthropist, a lot of important scientists, mm-hmm. And things like that. And you have people like Amy Poehler and Rain. And believe me, I do enjoy Rain a lot. I like his music to some degree, and I like the fact that he's appearing in American movies. But I like that the times, some of their entries were extremely sarcastic, and you could argue whether that's right for the tone of what they're doing.
But
their entry on him.
You want to read the entry? It's right here in front of me. It says, Urain 28 took the top spot in the Time 100 reader poll for the third year, trouncing competitors from Barack Obama to Lady Gaga. That's pretty impressive online power for a guy whose main claim to Western fame is a role in the 2009 film Ninja Assassin. That's sarcastic.
So, yeah. No, don't send your hate mail to Time magazine. No. It's completely understandable why they would write something like that. And like the other thing that made me laugh for a couple of them is beneath their name, they usually have, you know, the reason why they're there. Some people, politician, philanthropist, scientist, stuff like that. Beneath Rain, they have poll winner.
Which is Oh my God. That is so true. I just noticed it now because I have the site up. Time magazine. Oh man. So what do you think about Time doing that? I mean, are they trying to be funny, sarcastic, or why did I put them in the top in the final list then, if that's the case, if they want to be sarcastic? Is that the image that they're going for now?
I mean, I think it's just they know the audience that he has, because this is of course his third time winning the poll.
Mm-hmm.
Third or fourth? I don't remember. But they know why they added him the first time to the actual list. And this is the second time in 5 years, I think, he's been on the list. And of course, it's an achievement because he was the first Asian celebrity to make the list, and he's the first Asian celebrity now to have made the list twice. And I think they probably have a good relationship with him. They are aware of how much online presence he has.
Yeah.
And like I was commenting, that I feel like they basically put him on the nominations because, like I said last week, he's been in a J-drama K-drama that wasn't all that great.
Mm-hmm.
And he's released one mini album in the last year. And that's basically all he's done. There's been rumors that he's supposed to be in a movie before he goes to the army, but, you know, we don't know if that's going to come to fruition.
Mm-hmm.
So, and he's about to disappear for 2 years.
Yeah, but you know what I think? You know why he's there? It's because of the traffic he brings.
That's how I felt too.
Website traffic, ads, income. Remember that. Not saying anything bad against Time, but it's a very smart move on their part. It increases their readership and online presence. All right, and what's next? Oh, Jay Park. He will release his first solo mini album called Take a Deeper Look on the 27th, which is how many days from now? 23rd for me, four days, and apparently he has hit the 50,000 mark in pre-orders, and I guess we'll finally hear Demons, right? That
Demon.
Song? Or yeah.
Singular.
Demon. Okay.
I actually don't think it was on the track list.
No? Did they release a track list? I haven't seen it.
The track list is Touch the Sky, Abandoned, which seems like... Yeah, Abandon is the title track, which is the one with Doki. Tonight with Kai Man Kyung, Can't Live Without You, Don't Go, Level 1000, Bestie. And that seems like it.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Seven tracks. So no, Demon isn't on it. I guess Demon is going to be on the OST for Hype Nation.
Yes.
So
yeah, no Demon this time. you're right. Maybe it is going to be on the OST for Hype Nation. So that's one thing to look forward to. And on the site, there's a link there that shows Jay Park in the studio recording Demon. It's a very R&B-ish song. You can hear bits and pieces of it. On to new releases. B1A4. How do you say their name? Because all I know is that it means that it's... what is this name again? It's B1All4One. What?
Yeah. It's basically All4One and One for All, basically. That's the meaning of it. And the other more obvious meaning is that of the five members, one is blood type B and the other four are blood type A. But it's B1A4. That's how you say it.
B1A4. Okay, so... B1A4 released their debut mini-album and MV. The music is okay, but the MV is just too cute for me.
But it is age-appropriate, so that works.
Yeah, it's a cute song. The title track is called Okay. It's a good song. I was surprised. Because when it first came out... Go ahead.
It's a different sort of sound from what's common in K-pop right now. Mm-hmm. So that always... With a new artist, that always works in their favor as far as picking up people who weren't into them before debut. And of course, they garnered a lot of interest because instead of releasing pictures pre-debut to introduce the members, they released a manga, basically, a comic. And then weeks later, they introduced, you know, what the members actually look like. So that was a good marketing idea. It got people's attention in a different way. Yep. And of course, the music hasn't really disappointed. So we'll see how it goes when they actually debut live. But
yeah, we'll see. We never know. Do they have any scheduled performances this week or next week that you know of?
Why are you asking me this question? You could have asked me this question a long time.
I forgot about it because I just listened to their music a few hours ago.
I like that their music video is them pretending to play musical instruments.
Yeah. But I first saw that at the beginning of the video. I was like, oh, are they like FT Island, CNBLUE? And then like, ugh. No. They're just pretending.
What? Yeah, but that's what FT Island and CNBLUE do when they're on stage.
On stage, But of course, I'm sure they can play their musical instruments, though.
I like the chorus part where it says, I love you. That is awesome. I couldn't get that out of my head.
Now that is a sign of a very good pop song.
Someone said they're debuting on Music Core. I don't know if it's this week's Music Core.
It's probably this week because their MV came out.
It's this Saturday on Music Core. So by the time this episode comes out, they should have had their debut.
And speaking of debuts, Cube's new girl group called A-Pink.
A-Cube. Keep that in mind. It's A Cube's girl group.
Oh, A Cube. There you go.
Yeah.
A Pink.
It's a sub company.
Yeah.
Or a sister company. One of those.
Made their debut this week. I watched the MV for their title track. Forgot what it's called. I don't know. There you go.
It's called I Know, not I Don't Know. Or is it? I don't know.
It's I Don't Know. As far as I know, because they
say. Okay, fine.
Because they say Moleyo.
Yeah, I'll stop correcting you.
Because it's Moleyo, right? I don't know.
Yeah.
Well, all I can say is that it's cute. It's got this very cute 90s vibe. And while watching the video, though, I can't help but be reminded of Girls' Generation when they're doing their cute concept with Kissing You.
That's what a lot of people said. A lot of people said it reminded them of Kissing You. So, of course, because of that, I didn't finish watching the music video. But I just recently saw their performance from Music Bank.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, that was all I could think about. Sonny Oshide's original songs. When I say original, I mean their first few singles. It is completely that same kind of vibe.
Yep.
Now keep in mind that Sonny Oshide does not own that concept. They did not make that concept popular. They didn't make that concept the best. It's been around as long as K-pop, basically. So it really is a sort of back to the roots kind of sound, and of course not everybody's into that, but I appreciate that what A Cube's doing musically is very obviously different from what Cube is doing, so you know, there's that.
Yeah, but anyway, the video has Kid Kwong from Beast, and it's just the right amount of candy sweet you need since it's Easter anyway. So yeah, the video, the MV has Easter colors. Maybe they timed the release for Easter. I don't know. Sweet is all I can say. All right, now comebacks this time. Nega Networks announced that the Brown Eyed Girls will be making their comeback in June. And according to them, they've recorded 15 tracks, but they weren't too happy with how the tracks came out, so they're going to start from scratch.
Yeah, and they kind of said that the end of June, but they also said it could be later, depending on them being able to produce the music. So I guess July? Don't be sad if it's July. Or August. Summer. Say summer.
Okay, so yeah, this summer then. So, because basically the pressure is on for the group to release something as successful as Abracadabra.
And we all know sometimes it's impossible to follow up on that kind of success. Because Abracadabra really was a departure from the kind of music they did before. And musically, they might want to go back to, you know, what built the sound of Brown Eyed Girls, what created the original fans. But, you know, knowing that the new fans wouldn't really like what came next. So Nega Network has, and this is their main artist, they really have the pressure on them to surpass Abracadabra in terms of popularity and in terms of sound. So
who do they have on the roster apart from Brown Eyed Girls? Because I don't know anyone else.
The only other person I know for sure is Mae Donnie.
Mae Donnie? Has she released anything recently?
No. Not since her initial single, no. I know for sure.
I don't know. It's going to be difficult for them to top Abracadabra. But I hope that even if they can't release something that tops Abracadabra, I hope that it's something good enough to satisfy the fans and to satisfy me, of course.
I just hope it's a good album. I don't care.
Mm. All right. Anyway, moving on. Okay, this is interesting. TVXQ performs Rising Sun in Music Bank's Legends of Music Bank special. This is a bit weird for me because, you know, this is one of DBSK's old songs when they were still together as five. While watching the performance, it was a bit weird to see just two people performing the song when most of us, me included, are probably used to seeing the song performed by five people. And maybe it helps that they only performed like 2 minutes of the song, because how are they going to do it vocally, I wondered. But well, that was before the performance came out, but they did fine because it's DBSK anyway. They're good at what they do.
I wanted to watch the special that KBS had, and I've only seen a few clips, and those were mostly the performance of the artists' current songs. So I didn't really watch the old school performances. I wanted to see the God one in particular.
Yeah. There's three only the five three. Members. Yeah.
Well, that's to be expected. Because the leader was out of country acting, and Yoon Kaesang, I think him being with God is the long shot that everybody hopes for, but they kind of all know that it's not gonna happen because he left the group under some circumstances, and he may not. I don't think he really has anything against the guys, but it's something that may still keep them apart. And he says his agency says that he wasn't approached for it. So, who knows?
I wonder if they still talk, though.
I don't know, because it seemed like when he was kicked out of God, I don't think he was really informed that he was out. It wasn't handled in a very good way. So that in itself creates animosity, and then they only got more famous after he left. So
that's really sad. Yeah, that's how you ruin a good friendship. So yeah, I know they performed Lies. I haven't seen the clip. I wanted to watch it, I just didn't have the time. But I'm probably going to watch it later because I love that song. What's next? Okay, this is about Kim Yuri, a Korean model. Earlier it was reported that she committed suicide by ingesting poison. But the police has recently announced that it wasn't, that she didn't try to kill herself. And they have also ruled out homicide. So the cause of her death is still being investigated because painkillers and cold medicine were found at the scene of the crime. So they need to run further drug tests. First of all, I'm happy that this isn't another case of a celebrity killing themselves. But yeah, I mean, because it's just sad for the Korean industry to just be inundated by deaths like that.
So in this situation, it may be natural causes. It may be something else.
Yeah.
Maybe an overdose, an accidental overdose. But like you said, with all that's going on right now, another celebrity suicide wouldn't be good for the collective psyche. So, and that of course is a list of the actual Nega Network artists.
Got it.
I don't know how I forgot Sunny Hill, because they performed with Nasha. I can't believe they still have the pictures that they use for Brown Eyed Girls are still the My Style era pictures. It's so bizarre.
Sunny Hill, I know they have one single out with Narsha, but for me, they've always struck me as being indie.
People were saying initially that Sunny Hill was two chicks and a dude.
Have you ever seen them perform live?
No, getting sidetracked again.
Okay, all right. Anyway, this is the biggest piece of news ever.
I don't know about ever, but yeah.
Ever in the past few years.
It's a fairly large part of piece of news. If you're listening to this, probably by now you've heard it to some degree.
Yeah, Seo Taiji and Lee Jia caught in a battle for Illuminae. What? You say what? What Illuminae? Who knew that they were...
When you say it like that, I don't know what the hell you're talking about.
Who knew they were married in the first place, though? It was only revealed recently that the two were married back in 97 and started divorce proceedings back in 2006. And then the divorce was finalized in 2009, right? Now, this is a mess, straight out of a K-drama or a fanfic, for that matter.
As far as she says, the divorce was finalized in 2009, I think.
Yep.
He's claiming that the divorce was finalized
in 06.
Prior to that, which is why really the case is still going on, and it's what gave it the opportunity for it to leak like it has.
Oh my god, it's really messy. Basically, the details aren't clear as of now, but reports are slowly coming out. First, we didn't really know that they were married back in 97, blah blah blah. It's slowly coming out. And things get a lot messier now because, as we all know, Lee Jia is publicly known to be dating Jung Woo-sung. And reports state that he had no idea about the relationship and that he has no choice but to end it with her, to break up with her, if it was true that she was married. So now, what? I'm expecting a public breakup because everyone knows. I mean, statement says they were married.
And his statement, or the statement that's attributed to him by his agency, or by a staff member at his agency, because you know how things go at times like this, people will latch on to anything released and report it as fact. So, it's been said that through someone that's not him, that if it is proven true that she was married, he doesn't see how the relationship could proceed from here. Basically, that it's done. And there's two ways to really look at it like this. Just keep in mind that there was a whole batch of rumors circling as soon as it broke that they were indeed married.
Yep.
It was being said that they had children.
Two children.
People were saying two daughters. Yep. And both sides have come out and said that there are no children involved in it. And as far as everyone knows, there's no children on either person's family register. And they met because in 1993... she moved to the U.S. to go to school, and after he
retired,
left Seo Taiji and boys, and essentially retired, and before he started his solo career, they met. The assumption is they started dating and they got married in 97, right?
Yep, 97. That's right.
And what amused me about the way people were talking about it is that saying they hid their marriage and they stayed married for 14 years, and I read the same articles they read, and in the articles it plainly stated that, you know, the divorce proceedings started in 2006, so really they hid the marriage for 9 years.
But hey, after that, it's still amazing.
It wasn't really anything to be hiding, seeing as it was breaking up. But
yeah,
from Jungkook's songs, from his side, it's there's really two options. You're covering your ass by saying the relationship's definitely over if she was hiding, you know, a marriage. And the way things were initially read, released, it came out like they were still married and they were in the process of a divorce. But and in that situation, hey, I completely understand you wanting to jump off the train as quickly as possible, because in that case,
you're a homewrecker. No one wants
you were involved. You were involved in adultery, and yeah, being that that's a crime in Korea, you would not want to be a part of that. But in this case, it's just you were dating a woman that had been married before, and I know that divorces are not looked at well, especially female ones, in Korea and I guess in Asia at large. But it's your girlfriend. You said you love her. You said you were thinking about marriage. These are all things that came out of your mouth, sir. Okay.
God.
I don't know if the statement is real, so I'm not gonna go out and like all out condemn him right now.
No,
but
can't.
if the statement is real, I mean, this is something he genuinely said and not just some staffer talking to the media or just some media person making up something that they think he would say, because really when it comes to entertainment media, you can't trust them at
right.
all. But if this is genuinely the case, dude, if she lied to you when you asked her, I understand you being upset. I understand you thinking that, you know, this is a deal breaker. But if you love this person genuinely, you and being in the same industry, you could understand why she would lie. Because the fact that she was married to Seo Tae-ji all these years cast doubt on basically every drama she's ever been in and how she got the roles.
Mm-hmm.
Because people will say that, well, she was using his power in the industry to get into these positions. And two, you know that now that this has come out, her career is pretty much over.
Yep.
Or at least for the time being, it's over. Because people feel a certain way about it. I know, and like, it's your first reaction to be angry that this person has lied to you. And I know that lying by straight out telling a false truth and lying by omission are kind of the same thing. But at the same time, if you don't ask the right questions, you won't get the right answers.
That's what you think. But come on, I mean, if I were the girl, you know, basically I would tell my boyfriend, by the way, you know, I was married to the biggest guy in Korean music, and his name is Seo Tae-ji, but we're divorced. I mean, I would say that, definitely. You know why? It's because what if someone finds out, and he finds out the wrong way? What do you think will happen?
See,
that's it.
I know there's that side to it, but there's also the side that neither she nor him wanted this news to come out.
Yep.
Because they were in the middle of the lawsuit proceedings. So they've been broken up for 5 years. When you consider that any relationship they've had in the interim, right?
Mm-hmm.
If they tell a person that, a boyfriend or a girlfriend, that, look, I was involved with this person, we were married, and now we're getting a divorce, or we've gotten a divorce.
A long time ago.
And then they break up with that person.
That's... Now, okay.
Hold on. There's nothing stopping that person from going to the media and leaking this information. So, from a privacy standpoint, I can understand why they wouldn't want to say anything. And, yeah, I do honestly agree that she should have been upfront with him and she should have told him. But
who knows? Maybe she did. And then he's just denying it.
Maybe she's in a relationship. I mean, it's a smart thing to do. Pretend like you didn't know.
Yeah.
Maybe there's been a relationship where she has been upfront with the person, and then the person was like, well, I can't deal with this, so I'm gone. And, you know, if you really love someone and you've been in that kind of situation before, you kind of don't want to put yourself in a position where you're already losing.
Because you know who the guy was, right?
Yeah. Of course, I'm just making excuses because I have this problem where I can't help but want to see things from every possible side. And I'm not a fan of Legia, I'll be upfront. I barely know who she is. But I do tend to make it possible to see every side. That's in my personality. I can't help it.
Yeah, for me, it's impossible that he didn't know, but it's a good decision right now to pretend that you had no idea. Okay. Like, oh, I'm washing my hands clean. I'm staying out. I'm not going to say anything. Let my agency deal with this. Or maybe he was forced to say that. We don't know, right? Or maybe,
I mean, because the way their relationship seemed is that the agency, I don't know if the agency didn't approve or they just wanted to keep everything under wraps. Mm-hmm. But they got caught in Paris, right?
Yeah, paparazzi photos.
Pictures surfaced from Paris and he was forced to acknowledge it. And then he came out with the whole want to get married thing.
Yeah.
And
and now what?
And like I said, in general, people don't look kindly on female divorcees. Yeah, so the fact that he would want to get married to this woman, it's not possible that his parents, having found out in this way, they would want nothing to do with that relationship. So
that's really sad. That's really sad, though. I mean, if you truly, really love someone, the past shouldn't really matter. But that's being idealistic, right? And we don't know how these people think. I mean, we don't live in Korea. So the pressure of society must be very different from where most of us live, right? Dee is right. Basically, no one wanted this piece of information to leak. They were protecting each other, and they had to do it for the sake of what is this? Sorry, got sidetracked. Okay. Anyway, they were protecting each other for the sake of their careers because she came back to Korea in 2004, and she basically became a celebrity after that. Of course, I mean, if she's going to say, I'm Cho Tae-ji's wife, it will be like she's using her influence, his influence, basically, to get the role she wanted, right?
And of course, keep in mind that he's a well-beloved figure, so a lot of his fans would not take kindly to suddenly finding out he's had a secret wife all this time. Because, like I said, they were married in 97, so by 2004, that would have been a 7-year marriage.
Hmm. Right. Now, this brings us to the question. Very good question, though. What was that question now? Okay. Okay. Because of this mess, it makes you think, what secrets do these celebrities have that would basically kill the fans, right? For example, you find out that, oh my God, Top is dating X and X and X. For how many years? And we had no idea. Oh my God. You know? And it makes you think that the rumors that you hear are most probably true.
Yeah, it's been said that, that they're very good at keeping secrets. It's kind of an industry-wide effort. Yep. To keep each other's secrets. And then, of course, it's also said a lot that the artists don't really have that much room to meet new people and to date. So it inevitably ends up that they date each other. And that's a reality that people like to try to ignore. But chances are, if you hear someone say that so-and-so were dating each other, it's pretty possible that they actually were. Some of it is, of course, you know, insane rumor, but within rumor is truth. So a lot of K-pop fans like to turn their back on rumors like this. They like to say, well, this can't possibly be true. But at the same time, it's kind of been proven true over and over, but you don't find out until years and years later, because you've had the precedent where two big celebrities, Moon Hee-jun from Hot and Kang Mi-yoon from, why have I forgotten the name of this one, from Baby Fox, they were dating at a time when they were both, absurdly popular, and it didn't work out well for them. So you have this big example that two big celebrities, especially as singers, because of the idol fascination and the idol fixation, they can't date openly without the fans and their positions eventually getting in between. in between them. So it's in your best interest if you stay quiet with it until the relationship reaches a point. Either A, you're thinking about marriage, or B, someone's made a mistake and now you kind of have to get married. So with young idols especially, it never really reaches that point. And that's why everyone was in this confused tizzy when Jonghyun from SHINee and Shinsei Kang announced their relationship, because again, it only been going on for 3 months, or 1 month. It had only been going on for a short period of time, and everyone was just like, there was no real reason. They hadn't gotten caught or anything for them to publish it. But basically, typically you don't find out about these things until years after, like, the relationship's already happened and they've already broken up. And one thing I found, like, funny is Eric and Minwoo from SHINee, a couple years back, they both had, like, highly publicized relationships. Yep. And then they broke up with the girls, and it's like, I don't know how the fans did this, but it's like those relationships never happened. If you ask about it now, people will say that it was basically a rumor. And
no,
I'm like, you've seen tons and tons of pictures of them together.
Eric's girlfriend, the actress, what's her name?
Park Shin-hae.
Yep.
I think that's her. Yep. She's quite pretty. And then Minwoo's girlfriend was SHINee. And, like, everyone pretends, like, no, that was not the case. And I'm like, how?
That's impossible. Because it was publicly known that they were dating each other when they were dating each other, right? I guess they have bad memories, or they have selective memories then. I mean, that's really amazing, because, you know, fans can be forgiving, and fans can choose to remember what they want to remember. And fans can choose what they want to believe, you know. That's really scary, though. Now imagine if the very popular idols right now turns out to be dating someone who's also popular, and then you find out years after. But then, you know, like right now, let's say let me just throw in a name here, G-Dragon, right? He's right. Been rumored to be dating this Japanese girl, the model and now an actress. I forgot her name, but she's in Norwegian Wood.
I swore I saw something about that movie recently, so I really should know her name.
Keiko something, or Kiko? Starts with a K.
Kiko Mizuhara.
There you go, Kiko.
Okay.
That's her. Everyone's been saying that, you know, they're together. And a lot of people have been saying that they know that GD has a girlfriend and blah, 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 blah. But then if you look at the comments of the fans, they're like, oh, stop it. They're not dating each other, blah, blah, blah. You know, don't do that. Don't spread rumors. And, you know, he can't be dating anyone. And then you would see the other side. You see, I mean, I'm happy if he's happy, blah, blah, blah. You know, the positive comments. So, but basically, there are a lot more negative comments than the positive comments. So you can't really blame them for hiding their relationships. Because one, it could definitely ruin their career, because they will lose their fans' love and trust, or whatever you want to call that. They will lose their fan support. And two, since you know, there are irrational fans out there, they will definitely go after the girl. Third reason is he has a career, and obviously the other girl also has a career. She's popular as well. When, you know, when two people have careers, they can go on talking about each other forever. He has his group, she has her acting, she has her modeling, and then it's just gonna be like one defines the other. They're gonna lose their personalities there. So yeah, you don't really blame them for deciding to keep things in secret. You know, fans can be very mean sometimes. You know, you can feel very loved if you're an artist, if you have a lot of fans, but at the same time, you can feel very stifled by their love, right? It's like, you can't really do anything much.
I think part of it has to do with this fine line between... A lot of people like to say that that you have to be appreciative of your fans, because your fans made you who you are. And while that is true, the fans have to understand. And in a genre like K-pop, where you're allowed, in theory, to be so close to your artists, you're allowed to see so much of their personality. And really, if you're heavily involved in their fan club or you're at the top, you're allowed to interact with them in so many different ways that you may feel like you really know that person. Or sometimes people take it to a point where they act as though they really own that person. And what you always have to remember is that this person is another human being that's completely separate from you. Sure, their career, like them getting to this point, is due to the love of the fans, but really, the fans, you don't get to control them. After a certain point, when they've established themselves, basically, you start to see the way that celebrities address their fans change. And some people say that they're two-faced or whatever, but I think they're just being realistic, that they're going to bow their head and they're gonna do certain things to get that foothold. And then beyond that, they're showing you bit by bit that they're their own person. Right. And it's really sad because you have celebrities that aren't idols, that are comedians or general entertainers or actors, that they don't rely as much on the fans, that they will also do the same thing where they're hiding their relationship for years and years and years until it comes to the point that they can't. Or people will just come out and say, don't do this or don't do that, or we'll destroy you. And it really gives the fans this dark, like, mafia type power, or they believe they have this kind of power over a completely different human being's life. And look, I know you like to live vicariously through your art, through your favorite artists or your favorite celebrities, but listen, you are one person that's completely separate from them. Sure, as a group, you may have a certain amount of power, but you ultimately have to realize that this person is a complete individual, and it's not fair to try and take everything that they've worked for. Because you may be a fan, you may have supported them from debut, but you weren't the one doing the actual work. Mm-hmm. You weren't the one going sleepless nights, whether it's practicing, whether it's recording, composing, whether it's learning lines, doing mm-hmm. script reads, filming overnight. You weren't the one doing any of this grueling process. While you may have been there with them in spirit, you weren't physically doing the same thing they were doing. So really, they should have the right to control the direction their career goes. Of course, that's all reliant on producers, on directors, on people who cast them, people who make their songs, stuff like that. But at the same time, you can't decide that you're going to ruin this person because they made a decision you disagree with. That's not fair. Because again, like we've stated early on in the show, is that you don't know this person. You don't know what they're really like. You don't know what their actual goals and hopes and wishes and dreams are. You just know what they've said on a TV show, which could be true. Mm-hmm. And it could be something that's written so that they look good.
And in this situation, of course, you can't really blame the artists, because their agencies control their image. Their agencies tell them how to act. You know, their agencies basically whore them out. I mean, that's not a very nice word to say, because they have to keep an image of being available, single and available for the fans, mm-hmm. so that the fans will love them. And that's how it goes. That's the sad reality of K-pop. Not even K-pop, J-pop is like that too, but I think K-pop is a lot more like that.
K-pop is a lot more insular than J-pop. J-pop does it does have its idol companies, and like it feels like idols are treated the same mm-hmm. way everywhere, basically. Their fan base is so rabid, and their companies are so careful about the influences they're allowed to have and things like that. There have been a lot of situations where people have been dropped from
just because of smoking, right?
Right, because of smoking, because of drinking. And of course, in most of those cases, it was underage drinking, so it's understandable that they get dropped
for smoking. Okay, now, if I were an idol, I'd be kicked out, probably.
Yes. I mean, it also makes sense that if you're a singer, the most important thing to you should be your vocal cords.
I'm a singer.
So you shouldn't be, I know. You shouldn't be engaging in behavior that puts your life's blood, the lifeblood of your job at risk. So I understand why they'd want to punish someone for smoking. I don't understand why they would dump them from the group for smoking. And then, of course, it's this additional thing where all of their fans are underage and they're considered, you know, idols. So they're role models and stuff like that. So that parents and other companies will say that, you know, you're setting a bad precedent for children.
But that's the thing, though. Idols as role models?
If you're smoking, keep your smoke. I mean, personally, I agree with the commercial Charles Barkley had, at where he basically said, you know, if I'm your role model, you're an idiot. Because I'm going to be the way I'm going to be. And chances of he's basically saying, you know, this is a bad person to want to grow up to be. Look at your parents. Look at good adults in your life. Don't look to celebrities.
In a way, what are they? Reluctant role models? Because they didn't ask to be role models. It was just put upon them by society that they become role models.
So your life is basically being controlled until you reach a certain level of popularity where you have the freedom to do what you want to do. But I think by that point, a lot of them are already conditioned to living a certain way and to acting a certain way. So you'll find that they're really secretive, and it's kind of sad when you have like fully grown adults in their 30s and 40s still behaving as though they're teenagers that are gonna be chastised by, you know, their company's CEO if they're found acting a certain way or being around a certain set of people. And then you have the other people who don't seem to care at all, and like it seems like it doesn't affect them until they do something big. And then at that point, the company can't cover it up anymore. So you have various ends of the spectrum.
I guess I fall on the other end. Like, I don't really care what you do. You know, I'm here to be.
You're an adult, so that's probably why you feel that way. And people in our situation, we're for the most part older than a lot of the current idols. Especially since, you know, as you get older, what I find funny is a lot of people say that the idols are getting younger and younger, and that's the opposite of what's actually happening. What's actually happening is they're the same age. You're getting older. So if it's common for people to debut at 15 and to some degree, that has been becoming more common than it was before. But say, for the most part, it's common for people to debut at 16 or 17. And every year you have 16 and 17-year-olds debuting. But you have celebrities that have been in the business since they were that young and a little bit older. So they're used to all of the pressures and the rules that their management would have put on them. And you find that, for example, if you put a person in a box, right? Of course, that's not actually possible. But if you put them in a figurative box and they learn that where the edges of this box are, and they know that they can't go any further, and then you take the sides of the box away, you find that until someone else comes and conditions them to look outside of that area, they'll continue to behave as though they're within that box. And I think you're seeing that a lot with some of the older celebrities. Even though they know in theory, look, I'm 30 years old, I can do what I want to do, they still behave as though they're that teenager. And they need to hide the people they have feelings for. They need to hide the friends that they have. And to some degree, you know, it's self-preservation. They know that things will be made difficult for their friends or made difficult for their girlfriends or boyfriends. But it's not the end of the world. A lot of the time they find out that, look, my fans have grown up with me. And they know that this is normal. In the time since they've become fans of me and now, they've probably had multiple boyfriends at this point. So they know that adults engage in relationships. They know that teenagers engage in relationships. They've figured this out by now. And it's not like I'm waiting for my fans to make themselves available to me so we could date. So there's no reason for me, for them to wait on me. So, and the other thing that's weird to me is people act like you're dating someone, you're going to get married to that person. Every relationship doesn't last
case
forever.
In point, okay. Me. Okay. There you go.
Just because your idol's dating someone, it's not the end of the world. I'm not going to go ahead and say, look, you were never going to hook up with that person. Because, you know, strange things happen occasionally. But just because they're dating this person now, A, it doesn't mean you should wish ill on the relationship. That's not what I'm saying. Do not do that. But things don't always last. And I think the reason why we don't know about a lot of these relationships is because they didn't last. Two people have temporary feelings for each other. They break up within a couple of months. Mm-hmm. That's not newsworthy. But two people that have been together for 5-6 years, you know, and they've been hiding it all along, that's actually newsworthy, because if you've been dating for that long, it feels like you must be dating with the intention of getting married. And what's weird with a lot of the adult entertainers is they always act as though every relationship, the media now, not the actual people in the relationship, but they always cover it as though this relationship is destined for marriage. So if they break up, it's this whole... Mm-hmm.
But don't you think it's a cultural thing, though?
And
yeah, I think it's a cultural thing. Because in the U.S., you know, it's very common for people, for two entertainers, to work with each other and then date each other, right? But they're not going to act as if they're going to get married. But this is Asia we're talking about. This is Korea. And you know how they hold their values and their morality very highly. So, of course, they're expected to act the role, to walk the walk and talk the talk. So that's why they act like that. And now that, you know, K-pop is becoming global, sometimes the fans don't understand, or maybe they forget that the main market for these idols is their country, right? So that's why they do that.
Right.
You know, it's understandable now if you really think about it. And there are reasons that some people... Most people, I mean, I'm not going to generalize, so I'm just going to say some people cannot understand because of culture. So I'm not going to say that for you to be able to understand your idols, you have to understand their culture. But it's a good start to understanding how they act and to understanding why they do things that they do, right? And... the article you linked me, it's very interesting because I'm just going to touch very quickly into the article that you linked me.
It covers a lot of
it's Rainya,
of what we said
basically.
Last week. Is that...
And you know what? I am happy that the girls are doing what they're doing, but I am not happy with the reactions of the people. The majority of the reactions are downright mean, and it's just very ignorant. You know, if you're a woman, if you're a female, and you're asserting your femininity, there is nothing wrong with what they're doing. They don't see anything wrong with it, but of course, you can't please everyone. It's deeply rooted in the culture, in the Asian culture. Korea, as we all know by now, they are very nationalistic, right? And they hold a lot of pride in their culture. Mm-hmm. So when a group like Rainya comes out in a society like that, where there are established norms on how you should be acting, there is obviously going to be a very, 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 very big backlash and a very big negative reaction towards the five females. Oh no, they're not five, they're eight now. Towards the eight females.
Well, but seven have been performing. And I think the writer of the article made an extremely good point that I think a lot of people ignore. Not even talking about the racism angle, but a lot of people act like, have acted like the American influence is what's ruining K-pop, and really the American influence is the reason we even have K-pop. Because like I've said before, that aside from the fact that the music's in Korean, there's no real distinction between it and American music. A lot of the trends you see repeated now, of course, there's still the difference is the culture that they have, this culture of innocence, but everything else is the same. And just because Teddy Riley has decided that he's going to produce this girl group doesn't mean that what they're doing is ruining K-pop. The same things they've done, if you go back and you look now, of course, Ivy would have been a bit older, but if you look at her song Aha, and it came back to my attention because last week Gina performed the song, and just like as she was doing it, I was just thinking, you know, in this current K-pop climate we have where everything gets banned and whatnot, how did she get away with this? How did this become a hit song, you know, with this extremely sexually suggestive choreography? And it really comes down to a double standard. You know, sometimes by certain people things are okay, but then when someone else does it, and especially when that person is a rookie, is treated as though, you know, it's not okay. And I do not appreciate that. So we're very proud of this all K-pop author who apparently couldn't take it anymore and, you know, had to say something. And whether it's just done to drive hits, because it's a very controversial topic and a lot of people mm-hmm. have been outspoken about Rainio. Whether they're popular in Korea or not because of this, I don't think we'll really be able to tell. It seems like the song isn't doing all that well because people have reacted, you know, so viscerally to them. It's really tragic yeah. because they are extremely talented. And while they do have the plan to debut in America as well, we don't know if they'll be successful. 8 members is a lot for the American audience to deal with, especially since after a certain point, everyone seems like extraneous. But if they do really well and Korea rejected them, it's going to turn out to be kind of a fuck you. So,
okay, now on to a different topic, though, slightly related, because you know how the K-pop acts would love to be successful in America? What about the other way around, right? Do you think it's possible yes. for non-Koreans or, no, not even, non-Asians to be successful in Korea?
Non-Asians.
Mm-hmm.
This came up because there was an editorial on Soapy.com where they were talking yes. about, I think, a JYP audition, an international audition, where it said the usual, you know, actors, I guess dramatic people, good-looking people, singers could all come to the audition. And what they said is that it said that you didn't need to speak Korean, but it didn't say that you had to be Asian. And the author was kind of postulating that it's because this is already understood that you need to be Asian. I think I've seen the lines for this type of audition before, and there aren't just Asians that are standing in line. But you don't ever hear of someone being picked as a trainee that's not Asian. And I'm not going to go ahead and say that they immediately dismiss you as soon as you appear in front of them and you're not Asian, but I think it's a lot more difficult.
Yes.
And part of it is because of the nationalism and the pride and that sort of thing again. But it's also because, you know, who would think of going to Korea to try and succeed? And the author then goes on to talk about the one talk show with international beauties or whatever, yeah. where for a while that was popular, and it was a lot of women living in Korea that were different degrees of fluent in Korean, and talked about who became successful after that, and basically nobody. Some people had temporary success where they may have released a single or something like that, or had a cameo in a TV show, and they went ahead and they talked
she's
about
cute, that girl.
From Super Junior Full House.
Yeah. She got married now. That's the last I've heard about her. And that's it. And there was one girl, Jamila from Misuda, the talk show that you're talking about. She released a single and then she disappeared. And Soompi article goes on to say that she went back to Uzbekistan and was never heard from again. So,
and they mentioned, I think this guy's French from Tamara Island, that he got an entire starring role in a drama, but again, the drama was about a foreigner in Korea. But it was more of a historical drama about a foreigner in Korea. But basically, the only role,
occasional role, the foreigner role, the novelty role.
But it's kind of like, yes, I was gonna say like
novelty
like
sounds
the
better
in a zoo role. But basically, it's yes. It's basically, look at this person, they're different. And I think, like, if you look at the We Got Married episode where they had Fahim, right? as soon as they found out he could speak Korean, the novelty was, like, instantly lost. And of course, the language barrier is such that it's interesting, especially on TV, when you're trying to communicate with someone without both of you knowing the same language. But as soon as this person is just another foreigner who can actually speak the language, it's not as interesting. So a lot of these people, you know, once that talk show stopped being as popular, they're inevitably going to disappear, because there's nowhere for them to go from there. And it's also kind of connected to Rania, because some of the initial, one of the articles written about them said that the initial plan was to have one black member. And it was scrapped for what are kind of obvious reasons. It goes along the same length as this article, that basically the idea is that a non-Asian person would not be accepted well.
I know most of you would think it's unfair or maybe even downright discriminatory, but remember, you have to remember it's the culture. Culture shouldn't be an excuse, but that's how it goes. Because K-pop is just a small chunk of Korea. The country is made up of, I don't know how many people, but it's a fairly huge population. And a big, big population. And of course,
7 million, something like that.
Not everyone is as open to people of a different race as the others. So for very obvious reasons, these auditions would really only look for Asians. I mean, even if they say nationality isn't a problem, but ethnicity is definitely a big factor, right? If you're not Asian, I'm not gonna say don't even bother falling in line for these auditions, but give it a shot. Who knows? You might change. You may be the person who can change their perception of the trainees that they're gonna get. For these agencies anyway. But it's not totally impossible for someone of a different race to become popular and hit it big in Korea, because it has happened in Japan, right? They have entertainers who aren't Japanese or who aren't even Asian. There's a lot of them in J-pop, and it didn't happen overnight. But, you know, change is slowly happening because K-pop is becoming global, but don't expect it to change within the next 2 or 3 years. But it's slowly happening, because look at that, who's that girl again? PumaShock, right? PumaShock, she's Black American, and she can speak the language. She does a lot of covers on YouTube. She did a cover of the Girls' Generation song, G, and, you know, she's slowly someone like that being featured on Star King is quite a big deal, because it means that they're slowly opening their doors, slowly, okay? And I guess that's a good sign, because rewind back to a few years, let's say 5 years ago, you would not see that on TV. You wouldn't see that in Korean TV. I don't think I ever did, because I know I've watched a lot of variety shows. But something like that is not normal. And you know how it's always a collective for a culture like that, for a country like that. So, yeah, you guys, if you want to audition, go for it. Don't lose hope. You never know.
Yeah. You never know. Just in the same way that what's the guy's name? I think it's John that was on American Idol, and he got bounced fairly early. At least towards the last part of it, and people will, and then Superstar came back K. And he was on Mnet equivalent Superstar K, and the fact that he was on American Idol was a big deal working in his favor. So you kind of have these things in both directions, and maybe the fact that you even got an audition here, because, you know, everything is experience. So don't decide not to audition just because you're not Asian. Just being able to stand in front of people you don't know and show off your talent that's always going to serve mm-hmm. as experience, as something to stand upon when you eventually have to do it again. Is because from there you may take whatever criticism you get, whether it's well-founded or not, and apply that to yourself right. in order to be better for the next time you audition.
Who knows, right?
Because as I've said,
it's slowly changing. It's not going to change overnight. It will take a few years until, you know, maybe you're the next big star. Who knows, right? Because things definitely change. People's tastes change. And that's all I can say about it.
Our previous discussion
yes.
about race also ties into our featured artist for the night.
Our featured artist, right?
Is essentially the Korean... A Korean American, born Tasha Reed, and also known as Yoon Mi Ray, that was born to an African American father and a Korean mother, and she really got her beginnings in K-pop through yep. hip hop and R&B group Uptown, where she was basically the only female member, and she eventually moved on from Uptown to a duo or duet, whatever duo. Yep. with Annie called Tashani, and then from there she went solo, and she's seen as one of the most influential hip-hop and R&B female artists yep. and is known as the Queen of Soul or the Queen of Hip-Hop or whatever. And the majority of her albums, before we get into her backstory and history, the majority of her music is definitely R&B inspired, but she's shown that she's a very talented and competent rapper. So she's yeah. seen as
now the for me, she's the real Korean
athletes.
Queen of hip hop, and she's the baddest female Soul City ever had. Definitely, she's the real deal. Of course,
you just had to throw that in there, didn't you?
If you don't know who she is, she's very talented, and you'll be hearing her music. But I was listening to her all night last night. To remind me of how good she is. Anyway, Tasha, or T, is Tiger JK's better half. She's a mother to Jordan. They have a child together, and I think he's 4 now, or 3. Very young.
Mm-hmm. 3 is probably closer to the answer. Well, 3 and 4. So he's somewhere between.
Yeah, eventually, like Dee said, she went solo in 2001, if I'm not mistaken, and she has 5 albums under her name. Now, I've known Yoon Mi Ray since she went solo, but I never really listened to her until about 4 years ago, 2007. When I was randomly flipping through TV one night and somehow ended up in KBS World, cable TV, because it was a late night show. Anyway, when I flipped through the channels, ended up in KBS World, I stopped because there she was, singing live. She was singing Black Happiness. And I...
Mm-hmm. Okay, yeah, I can understand.
And I think it was Yoo Do-hyun's Love Letter. Is that show still on?
No, that show got canceled. It was, I think, replaced with Yoo Hee-yo's
schedule. Now that I think about it, yeah. I know why I stopped, because it's that song. It's that amazing song. And that song struck me because it was a very personal song, and you can hear her father narrating towards the end of the song, and I love that one line there. Sometimes it's hard to see the best things in your life, or all the good things in your life, sorry, but you gotta be strong, you gotta hold on, you gotta love yourself. That's that line struck me, and until now, whenever I hear that song and whenever I see her perform the song live, something inside me stirs. It's like it always makes me want to cry, but it's just that it's embarrassing to cry because of a song, so it has that effect on me.
What strikes me about this song in particular is that the song mm-hmm. talks about her struggle in K-pop. I think she grew up listening to old soul records and stuff like that because her father I don't know that he was a professional musician, but he was very much a fan of music. So she has all of these different influences. And she says, she talks about the time in her life when she first started, and she's talking about how she was accepted because her mother was Korean, but at the same time she was rejected because her father was Black. And what's sad about it is that it's not just people like her that are mixed race or people that are of a completely different race that are treated this way, but people that are Korean that happen to be dark skinned were treated this way as well, where they had to wear makeup to lighten their skin color for photo shoots and appearances and stuff like that. So she also got this sort of treatment, and hers was probably harsher than everyone else's, because in addition to having to wear the makeup, you'd also get people talking about you, and you'd always have this feeling that you're not good enough because of something that you have absolutely no control over, who your parents are. And in the first verse of the song, it talks about that. And I also liked that the song opens up with home video of, I think, of a birthday. And there's a lot of pictures of her as a child and early on in her career in this music video. So it adds that personal touch. And like, the good thing is that from fairly on in her career, she was involved with Tiger JK. So she's always had, not always, but for a long time, she's had this other person in her corner. And I'm sure the other members of their movement collective supported her as well. Because one of the cool things about Tiger JK and Drunken Tiger in general is, being from the US, they knew a lot of people, other people that they allowed to be involved with their music that weren't Korean. And some of them, yep, like Roscoe O'Malley, were still Asian and being Filipino, but their music and the artists they associate themselves with have always been from basically all over the world. So there's always been that level of acceptance within the collective.
It is very cool, because it's hard to see something like that in the current music industry in Korea. And it's very cool because you get to see how these people work and the kind of important, not important, but interesting things that they bring into the music, right? It's different cultures blending into one. It's always amazing to see that. And so, yeah. I like Yuri and her songs. If you listen to her songs, she has this very soulful voice. And it's funny because we were talking about how she used to be the singer and Annie used to be the rapper in their duo Tashani. And now she's basically a rapper. And she set the bar for female rappers in Korea. And it's gonna be a while before someone can top her.
And you do, like I said, in the Shani video, you hear her talking to the audience, and you hear, it's hard to describe the voice, but it's like, female rappers in the US in the 90s and early 2000s, they had this swagger, this sort of powerfulness to their voice. And what we used to call it is, we used to say that she raps like a man, right? And it's sad to describe it that way, but basically a lot of female rappers have attested to this, is that you're kind of measured on a masculinity scale. Basically, they want you to be sexy and all that, but in order to be taken seriously, you have to kind of come at it like a man, which is, it makes things a bit difficult. But she has a voice, it's odd, she has a voice that's both suited for R&B and suited for rap. So, regardless of what kind of album she makes, you will always be slightly disappointed in it, because if you're like me, that the favorite rap over pretty much any other type of music, you're gonna crave the rap album from her. She's only dropped one full-length focused on rap album. I think it was called Gemini. And ever since that album came out, really, that was what cemented her as, the queen of rap for Korea. And people are always going to want another legendary album like that. And you've heard that she's going to make another one for years and years, and it's a patience thing. The last album she released had some rap songs on it, But it was kind of still primarily, you know, an R&B, a soulful album.
What was I
going
to say? She's supposed to have an album out soon, right?
Yeah. You can't really knock her for making this kind of album because her songs are still very good. JK, her, the rest of her writing team, they do a really good job. And she has a magnificent voice. And it would really be a shame if she just wasted it. Because, like, if she only does one thing or the other, it's always going to seem wasteful. Because if she makes, from here on out, she makes just rap albums, you're going to be like, well, what happened to that great voice? Like, why are you not using it? And if she only makes soul R&B albums from here on, it's going to be, you know, what happened to that great voice? Why are you not using it? So
where are you? Are you right in the middle? Or you want her to make more rap music? Or do you want her to make more R&B albums? Yeah.
For now, I just want her to make enough rap albums to catch up to the R&B soul album she already has. But I think you could balance it really well. You can make songs that are primarily R&B songs and have a rap verse instead of having a featuring rap artist.
But that's the trend now, right? Someone has to feature.
But I mean, she knows a lot of people and she could always have a feature, but there's no reason to necessarily have that. And on her last album, she had some songs where she's singing the chorus and whatever, the other vocal parts, and then she's also rapping as well. And the only problem would be when it comes to performances, because rapping takes a
How are you
going to
do it live?
Energy,
it's difficult. You sing the chorus and then you rap, okay?
Well, you just have backup. Well, the good thing for rappers is you get to have hype men. So you could have people. You could have people on stage with you helping you.
Okay.
So that works.
But me, I just want to see her make music. That's it. Period. You know, I'm easy to please. I just want to see her make music and show everyone how it's done. You know, because obviously it's not right to compare her to these female idols. Because obviously they're not real rappers. Well, not every one of them, though.
But the thing is, it's perfectly fair. Now, the only part where it's not fair is because of the experience she has. But you have to consider that she was an idol. That's where she started from. From being an idol singer to the fact that the groups you were involved with were also hip-hop focused. And you do have that now. You have female idol groups that are, to some degree, hip-hop focused. So it's always possible for someone to be able to come out of his idol background and to be a rapper. Whether they'll be taken seriously is a different question. But if a person has talent, I think it doesn't matter their background. A talented person is always going to make you pay attention to them. Now, I don't think I don't think there's any idol rapper right now that just the sound of their voice makes me feel the same way that Tasha does.
Closest?
CL is probably the closest person, but she's still very, very far away. And I think really we're looking in the wrong place for female rappers. I think we're at a point where we should be looking to the underground instead, because they're the people that know what they should be doing in terms of that are living the kind of life where they're absorbed in hip-hop. And I think they're doing it right. But until you get to, because a lot of them are just basically, they're not good looking enough for the mainstream. And the mainstream, as we've seen with Jeff Blackman, will grab the people that are good looking enough and are still talented. And they will eventually, the way you're going to debut through a company like that is basically you're going to be put into an idol group. And for a lot of people, some of the people that are good looking enough, they don't want to do that because that's turning their back on everything they stood for before. And I completely understand them feeling that way. I support them in feeling that way. If you don't want to sell out to become famous, if you're okay with working a completely different job and making music as a side sort of thing, or you're going to be spending 10 years in this and not really getting rich off of it, just making a living wage, and you're happy with that, that's fine with me.
Which reminds me of a conversation we had a very long time ago. You were showing me, because I was asking, is anyone cute in hip-hop? And you know what? It's funny because I remember how yes. I came to like Verbal Jin because I was looking at his face. Oh, he's good looking. And that's about it. Oh my God, I can see how shallow I am. And, you know, there's no shame in that.
Yes. But the thing is, your opinion is reflected a lot mm-hmm. in fandom, is that people are looking for good-looking people, and unfortunately, yep. that's pop music. That's the way it is. So, I think they understand it as well, that the way the music industry is currently, they're not going to be focused on unless they're attractive. And at this point, if you're going to undertake plastic surgery just so people will listen to you, are you willing to take that step? And I think that's a ridiculous step to take anyway, because you may end up, yeah, getting picked up by a company, but if you're not of a certain age, they're not even looking at you anyway. And even if you get picked up by this company, yep. there's no guarantee that they'll let you say what you want to say. So yeah. you're
and
still
you know,
behind.
If you get picked up by a company, you won't be able to make the music that you like, or there's no guarantee that you'll be able to make the music that you like. And you wouldn't have the freedom to create the kind of music that you really want to do. So in a way, if you get picked up by a company, it's like selling your soul to the devil. And if they refuse to do that, I don't blame them. No, no blame at all.
So, Tasha's album is supposed to come soon. It's just based on them completing the songs. Right now, Tasha, her husband, Tiger JK, Roscoe O'Malley, and Stylistic Jones are promoting to some degree as a collective known as Sun Tzu.
They have videos.
You can look up
YouTube.
Their music as well.
Very interesting music videos, by the way. Yes, until next week. Thank you, everyone, for listening. And thank you for staying with us. All right. So this has been episode 7 of the Always Rational K-Pop Podcast.
We should mention that before we sign off that we have a new website, and this is going to be the first episode where we're releasing primarily on this website. You can find us at a much shortened name, so I can't mess it up anymore. It's www.arkpop.com. It's our official home for
and
the
we have things
K-pop
planned,
podcast.
Not just the podcast. So stay with us, okay? And that's about it. That's it for me. Thank you very much for your time. Have a good day. Good night. And do whatever you want to do now. Okay, this is Noelle. Okay, and thanks, everyone. Good night. Goodbye.